Good morning. This morning I will be reading Revelations 22:7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of this book.
Good morning. Appreciate Bobby stepping up and leading singing for us this morning since Matt's out, and glad to see all of y'all today. I forgot to give a card for the announcement, so I'm going to read it to you right now. Edna and Gary St. John said, "Thank you for all the prayers and the well wishes." We are glad to have them back with us, glad to have them through Edna through her surgery and both of them through COVID and all this, and just want to make sure I read that to y'all. That being said, we're going to get into our lesson this morning, and I want to begin by saying something, and this might be controversial, but I'm going to say it anyway. I love being married. Being married's great. I enjoy it, and I want to talk a little bit about something I've learned being married, as it will be relevant to what we're going to talk about in a minute, probably. Before I got married, I would pretty much use one piece of furniture in my area that I lived. I lived in a dorm room for a while. We had a couch, and I'd lay on my couch. I'd lay on my couch to watch TV. I'd lay on my couch to sleep most nights. I didn't have really hardly anything else in that dorm room other than that couch. And I'd leave the same big old light on all the time, and that's just how I did it. Most of the time, I'd turn that light off and just have the TV on. But you know, when I got married, I learned something. Before I got married, I didn't own a single lamp. Now we have like 30 lamps. And I learned that there are qualities of lighting. And that while you can leave your big lights on all the time, it gets a little harsh on the eyes, you know? And now we don't turn on the big lights. That's no good. You turn on the lamps. And then it's nice and it's warm and it feels good. It's relaxing. I didn't know any of this before I got married. And then I got married and I found it out. I'm like, you know, you're right. I didn't know any of that. But then, sometimes, Sarah goes on a trip, and it's just me. And you know what I do when it's just me? I don't turn any of those lamps on in the morning. I don't remember to turn on a single one. Usually, I don't even turn on the lights. We got windows. I'll sit there the whole day. Anytime I'm home and it's my day off and Sarah's gone, I'll sit there and I'll relax and watch TV or whatever, and I'll just sit on the couch. I sleep on the couch while she's gone because that's what I'm used to. And she'll get home, and every time she gets home from a trip in the evening, she'll come in, and the first thing she'll do is she'll go and turn all the lamps on. And I'll look, and I'll go, "Wow, I thought it felt dark in here. You're right. Wow, this feels way better. I didn't think about that the whole time." And that is just to say that I think as people, sometimes it's really easy to sit there, and it be way darker, and you just realize, I've not done anything about this. I could improve the way I see. I could make things a lot clearer in here, but I'm not. Because I don't realize I need to. I don't realize I'm having a problem in the first place. Now, we've been talking about the man born blind. You know, Jesus is the light of the world, he says in verse 5 of John chapter 9, right before he brings sight to this blind man. He's come to bring sight to the blind and light to the eyes. And the healing of the lame man, or the blind man, was a living parable to the world that Jesus can bring any person from darkness to light. Jesus has come to bring healing to our darkened and sin-filled souls, and the light has come to shine in the darkness, is how John puts it in chapter 1, verse 5. Very early in the gospel, John made this declaration about Jesus, that he was the true light, which enlightens everyone. And was coming into the world, according to verse 9 of John chapter 1. The blind man in the story recorded in John 9 has responded to that light. We looked at verses 5 through about verse 39, I think, last week. And when confronted with Jesus, the blind man finally confesses, "Lord, I believe." And he worships Jesus as the Lord. Because true belief is supposed to lead us to confession and worship. That's something we see through this whole story. John chapter 9 is an amazing chapter. To say this another way, the evidence of this sight, or the evidence of the light shining in this man, is that he confessed and worshiped Jesus. But the story does not end at this man's confession in John chapter 9. You know, it's powerful, the discussion Jesus has with the disciples about who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind. And then it's powerful, the story of this blind man, almost without Jesus there at all, from verse 6 to about verse 37. But we got one last really powerful little chunk here I want us to look at this morning. And that's what happens after this man tells Jesus that he believes. In verse 39 of John chapter 9, here's what Jesus teaches. He uses this confession to further teach those who are around him, and this is highly instructive for our own spiritual condition. This is what he tells the man. He says, I came into this world for judgment. Jesus gives us a statement. This is his purpose. This is his goal. This is why he's here. I came in this world for judgment in order that those who do not see will see, and those who do see will become blind. The light of the world was going to accomplish two things. First, Jesus would bring light and sight to the blind. And second, as the light would bring blindness to those who see. Now, that might be a little surprising to you to hear. The coming of Jesus was the moment of truth. His coming as light was going to distinguish who are blind and who can see. And one might assume that, you know, being blind's a bad thing. That's not the ideal. You don't want to be blind. You don't want to be unable to see. This is why the Pharisees, after hearing Jesus say this, ask, you know, are we blind too? Or aren't we blind too? Are we? It says in verse 40 here, some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, are we also blind? Is that what you're saying, Jesus? That we are blind? They ask this question in a way that assumes a negative answer. You know, you're not saying we're blind. We're not the ones who are blind. Don't say we don't know what we're talking about, Jesus. We see very clearly. Now, you would expect Jesus to go, no, you don't. You are actually very blind. You're blind to your problem. But that's not what Jesus says. And that's what makes this really interesting. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, if you were blind, you wouldn't have sin. But now that you say, we see, your sin remains. Jesus says the problem is that you see. If you were blind, you wouldn't have this sin. But since you say that you see, your sin remains. Now, that's very confusing. What is Jesus saying? How can seeing be the problem? How could Jesus say that you need to be blind? And I think this is the thrust of Jesus' teaching. This is his point that we've got to consider in our lesson today. Jesus says the problem is that you think. You see. You think you see clearly. The Pharisees thought they could see without the light of the world. They don't think they need the light, and therefore they don't have the light. And when you are in the dark, you got to know that you are in the dark to turn on the light and to want the light. It's like I was talking about earlier. You know, if you've ever been reading or watching television, when the light outside's kind of growing dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, and then somebody else walks in the room and goes, why didn't you turn any lights on in here? Don't you know it's pitch black in this room? The Pharisees think it's fine. You know, they got enough light, they get it. They're not at all aware that they're just sitting in the dark trying to read, trying to understand. Suddenly you look around when the lights get turned on and you realize, oh, it was really dark in here. You didn't know you needed the light. You can't know that you need more light until you realize you are in the dark. And this is the problem that Jesus has with the Pharisees. This is the problem that he's identifying. Those that know they need the light will see the light of the world. But many think they can see when actually they're sitting in the dark. It's okay if you're blind, because if you're blind, Jesus can give you sight. He can help you to see. The problem is, if you think you're not blind at all, and you actually are, you're never going to go to him to get the light that you need. If these people would acknowledge their blindness, they would have been able to see. I think Jesus is saying here, if you're looking to find God, he'll help you to see that light that's been sent into the world. He'll help you to find Jesus and embrace that light. But if they would have been able to see, they could have been forgiven their sins. But because they don't recognize their blindness, they're lost in their sins. The Old Testament pictures that the work of the Savior would be when he came. He talks about it in Isaiah chapter 42, verses 5 through 7. It says, "Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I've called you in righteousness. I'll take you by the hand and keep you. I'll give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness." Now, this is how Isaiah talked about Jesus' mission. Jesus' mission was to go get people who are in the darkness and drag them out to the light to help them to really see God. And Jesus says, look, if you see God, I can help you. If you're blind and you don't see God, I can help you. But if you say you see, you're not going to believe me that this room is dark and you need to turn on a lamp. You're not going to believe me that you need more. You're not seeing it clearly. The Pharisees are missing the messianic message. The Savior is coming to open the eyes of the blind and bring out the prisoners from the dungeon. The blind are those that will see the light. The prisoners are the ones that will be set free from their sins. But for these religious leaders, they don't know that they're blind because they haven't listened to the scriptures where it tells you that you're blind. The scriptures are clear that we're blind, that we're imprisoned to sin, that we need a Savior to set us free. That's why Jesus came, and to forgive us. But they don't see this. They're blind because they thought they saw. And the concept Jesus is teaching is very simple. You can't be made healthy until you admit you have a sickness. If you think you're well, you can't ever get healed. You know, if you got a toe that's been hurting for a few months, but because some days that toe feels pretty good, you think, you know, hey, it's getting better. I think it's about fixed up. I don't have to go to the doctor. I'm never going to go to the doctor as long as I think I'm going to be okay and it's going to heal by itself. I'm only going to go to the doctor when I finally admit that that ain't getting any better. That isn't going to heal on its own. I need some help with this problem. Jesus is going about trying to shed light on the fact that we're actually sick and blind in the world. We're dying in our sins and we're never going to be healed by Jesus if we think we aren't, if we think we're okay. We're never going to receive the help we need from the great physician if we think we're well. And when we don't see our condition, our sin remains. We've got to have dependence on Christ. This was the very condemnation of the Christians in the city of Laodicea. We talked about Revelation this morning. In Revelation 3, verses 17 through 18, it says, "For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched and pitiable and poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments that you may clothe yourself from the shame of your nakedness, may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes that you may see." John writes to the Christians in Laodicea, and he says, you guys think that you're rich and that you're doing great, and everything's fine. You don't see how you actually look. You're in a terrible, terrible state. Jesus says they're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. They don't see their true condition, and they need to see it so that they can be clothed and see again. That's what God says, buy from me what you need. Take from me what you need. I can help you to see if you'll just stop thinking you're already there. Also consider that Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders in John 9, people that know the law. You know, in Revelation 3, John's not speaking to people outside the church. He's speaking to Christians. They're struggling with this sight. He's not saying that the world foolishly believes that they see, which is certainly true. People outside of God are still struggling with this problem of not seeing the sin in their life, realizing they need help with it. That's an issue. That's what the gospel's for, to help fix that, help them realize they're blind. But Jesus is saying that we sometimes, religious people who claim to follow God, whether it be the Pharisees or the Christians in Revelation 3, are the ones who might be foolishly believing we see. So we've got to stop and reflect if this could be said of us. How can we know if we think we're seeing the light of Christ but are actually blind? And I want to give us three areas to consider from the scriptures that might show us if we have been healed by Jesus that we see, or whether we think we see but we're still blind. Here's the first. When we do not love one another, we think we see, but we're blind. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there's no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness. He does not know where he is going because of the darkness has blinded his eyes. 1 John chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. These were people who thought they were Christians but did not show love for one another. They thought they saw, but the darkness had actually blinded them. If we're not loving one another, then we think we see, but we're blind. That's an area we got to watch ourselves as Christians. We got to work on. Second, when we lack the fruit of the Spirit, then we think we see, though we are blind. Listen to how the Apostle Peter describes it in his second letter. And when I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit, I'm not just talking about this list we see in Galatians of the fruit of the Spirit, but I'm talking about growing Christ-like qualities within ourselves, that these fruit of the Spirit. Peter describes it in his second letter, and he says, "For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith, to take your faith and supplement it with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten he was cleansed from his former sins." Funny how much this image of being blind comes up in the Bible. First, we're blind if these qualities are not ours and they're not increasing. You know, otherwise we're ineffective and unfruitful. We got to notice what Peter says here. These qualities are supposed to be part of our lives and they're supposed to be growing. A lack of spiritual growth in our lives is going to indicate a serious problem. We got to examine these characteristics that Peter gives, that Paul gives in Galatians, and ask ourselves, do I have any of these qualities, and am I getting any better at them? Because if the answer to all that is no, then we're Christians who think we see rather than actually seeing. We're lost in darkness. Verse 5 commands us to make every effort to add these qualities to our faith. We've got to supplement our faith with these qualities that God wants us to adapt. And the second thing about these spiritual fruits is that we've got to see our condition and never forget our condition. This is the problem Jesus is facing in John 9. Jesus is talking to a lot of people that thought they are good servants of God. They are spiritually in a great place. They stopped looking at themselves, thinking about the qualities they know that they should have as servants of God. They don't think they need to rely on anything Jesus has to say. They don't see Jesus as one as who saves and heals. And we can't ever believe that our current condition of salvation and being children of God is by our own works. Without Jesus, without God, we're dead. We're lost. We're doomed. We can't ever let that go. We can't ever feel like, okay, I'm doing real good. It's fine. We've got to remember who's in charge here and who's supposed to help us. And finally, the third way that we can see if we might be spiritually blind is if we lack a desire for worship, we show that we think we see, even though we're blind. Worship is the last action we see concerning this formerly blind man. I love that. He says, "Lord, I believe." And then he worships Christ. His first impulse and desire when he finally is healed of his blindness, both physically and spiritually, when he sees Jesus for who he is to worship Jesus. And if we don't desire to worship Jesus, then we're in the dark. It shows that we think we see even though we remain blind. People who come to the light and see, because they see the light of Christ, worship Jesus. They live a life full of worship to Jesus. If we don't desire worship, then we're walking in darkness. We're not aware that we don't have that light of Christ transforming our lives. And when I talk about worshiping Jesus, I don't mean here desiring to be a part of every single time the church doors are open, being in a worship service. I think it's good to be in worship service together. I think that is part of it. But I think it's more than that. I think at the core of things, inside and outside of this building, do we want to worship Jesus? Do we love him? Do we care about him? It's not just about singing hymns and praying together as a group, but it's, do I talk to him throughout my week? Do I pray to God? Do I thank God for everything Christ has done for me? Do I worship him in my life? If you're not seeing this transformation in your life, I want to encourage you to get in the Word of God. If you believe that you thought you saw clearly, but you're beginning to realize you don't, that's not the case, then go to your Bible, read it, pray to God for your sins, and ask for his help to strengthen you, to help open your eyes as you seek him. The scriptures are the tool that's going to strengthen you and change your life to be increasing in all these ways that Peter talks about and all these ways that Paul talks about in the way that God's called us to live. And I want to encourage you to run towards God, to make that a priority in life. I don't know what you need this morning. Maybe you are a Christian and you feel like you've been pretty blind, like you've lost sight. Well, we want to help you and encourage you, to pray with you as you try to correct that. Maybe you're not a Christian. If you need to become one today. We want to help you with that. If there's anything we can do for you this morning, come forward as we stand and as we sing.
Trusting in his graces, sir, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
We'll sing first and second verse, and we'll be dismissed and see everybody back here for evening worship service at 5:00.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of joy. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope.
is with you. As a shield from every snare, if temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet.